We are in the midst of our Biblical Worldview Question of the Week with Nancy Fitzgerald of Anchors Away, a biblical worldview ministry that is sharing truth, which right now is in short supply in many areas, and especially when we begin talking about this topic. Good morning, Nancy. How are you?
Good morning, Steve. Good morning, Kelly. I'm doing well.
Excellent.
This is a topic that once we deconstruct deconstruction, I think we'll all see it in our lives, that this is something we need to talk about and can be a part of a remedy for this craziness.
Well, let's get to the definition here. What is Christian deconstruction? Let's define it first.
Well, first of all, deconstruction is to take apart, not to study, not to get doubts, you know, satisfied. It's not that. It is with the intent that is to challenge to the point of disbelief the truth of God, the Bible, and the moral value system that God institutes through the scripture that really, as we see, has resulted in thousands leaving their faith. And again, it's to encourage others to question and then leave the Christian faith as well. And I think many more added to this number by several faith influencers. Kelly, you were talking about that earlier this morning, who describe their faith. They say that we have been broken free from the shackles of our faith. So that just kind of tells you the what is happening here. And you mentioned one, Kelly, this morning, Rob Bell, who's very well-known pastor, creative speaker. He broke free, and to his own admission, he wanted to perform. He really wasn't into being a pastor much. Joshua Harris, who's a millionaire author of I Kiss Dating Goodbye. Keep this in mind. These guys have made millions off the Christian community, and now they are using their status to draw others out of the faith. It's ridiculous. This evangel, Bert Ehrman, the same thing, and Bart Campolo, a former Christian pastor and son of Speaker Tony Campolo, you know, who now identifies as an American humanist, which is a godless speaker and writer. So the reality is these guys, these influencers are hurting us. And keep in mind, we've got pastors, youth pastors, well-known Christians beyond these guys that are doing inordinate damage by their own personal deconstruction.
This is so scary, Nancy. I mean, it just makes me, I don't even know how to explain what I feel inside when I think about these leaders that we've all watched for years just suddenly start to do this. And the next thing you know, they're out of the faith and they're taking people with them. What, when somebody's starting this process of Christian deconstruction, what does it actually look like? How would we know? How do we recognize it?
Well, I think it's been going on in the churches for a long, long time, where deconstructionalism, as Steve referred to earlier, the ism, it defaults, it yields to feelings and experience. If something doesn't feel good to me and I don't understand it, then it's not true and God is evil. That's kind of the building or the tipping over of the blocks here. But they default feelings and experience over the history of the scriptures, of history of the world, over research, and over apologetics, and any universal truth. If it doesn't feel good to them, they're going to dismiss it and encourage others to do so. And what has been marketing this and promoting it are podcasts, internet videos, Facebook posts, blogs, YouTube. It has become this idea of losing your faith, you know, grappling with it and then saying, this is not for me, God is evil, whatever, is become a fad now. And that is pathetic because it has taken the Christian community, you know, it has hit it like a storm, a bad storm. And the question that I want to raise today in dealing with this, because many, many people have asked, please talk about this, because they've heard about it, they really don't understand. The question for us as the Christian community is, can we blame them? Can we blame them? And though there are many reasons for this exodus, and some of them are just ridiculous, yes, but all of them seem to have a few things in common that I think we need to know about. One, they have questions about their faith that have gone unanswered. They have been stumbled by misbehaving Christians, be it pastors or just Christians who have misbehaved, and they're judging Christ through them, and they want out. Most pastors, and I will say a capital M here, most pastors and youth workers are not teaching and making relevant the truth of the scriptures to their lives. This has been documented by Barna Research, Nehemiah Research, Brandon House Worldview Weekend Ministries. All of these people are saying the same thing. They're not feeling that their life is changing by being in the scriptures, by going to church. They don't believe their faith is growing in those areas. And others leave, and this is important because they cannot reconcile the idea of a good God allowing suffering. One such deconstructionist, Joseph Honacheco, he is, listen to him, he has walked away from his faith. But there's something we can learn from his story here that I'm just going to read to you in a second. Listen to his heart. I don't see anger. I don't see a viciousness here. I see a heart that's broken that hasn't been reconciled with the truth of the scripture. So he has chosen to leave his faith. But listen to what he says. He says this, quote, I always had questioned things about my faith, despite coming from a Christian home. But these were different. They felt more like dissatisfactions than doubts. And they led to a sort of systematic dissection. It began with questioning God's goodness. For years, I'd watched faithful people pray, fast, intercede, only to find themselves heartbroken without answers. Doubt became disdain for God's very being. If his will be done meant people suffered, I don't understand why he deserved my worship. And it didn't take long before I started poking at other parts of his faith too. One question led to another, and it came to a crescendo that day in the car with my wife. Our pastor had called the congregation to pray for a suffering member, and all I could think of were the times God hadn't come through. And there it is. That's a beautiful picture of a guy. And I think hearing this and thinking about this, we should be thinking, what could I do as a Christian with Joseph? What would I say to him if I had a word with him? And we're going to be talking about what our response might be as Christians. But these are not angry, vicious people. Yes. Many of the Christian influencers who have left are, yeah, they're angry and they want everybody to follow suit with them. But for the most part, people are quietly questioning and leaving their faith.
Well, you know, Nancy, I think that questioning our faith and the teachings of the church is not necessarily the problem, right? The issue comes when we aim to redefine God's word, right? The broken part of deconstruction is that the things that were taught and formed by man, because it ultimately comes out of bad teaching, right? The attractional church model has presented Jesus in this loving, favorable light that when people experience bad things in their life, they go, well, how can this possibly be, without understanding that, no, God is sovereign and God is just, and we live in a broken and fallen world. This is why we have suffering. It's not because what you're being told is a wrong, you know, it Jesus is not just love. There is he's going to return to judge. This is who God is. So are we then dealing a death blow to Christianity when we start to question that?
Well, Well said, Steve. And questioning and doubting the Christian faith does not have to level a death blow to somebody's faith. It just doesn't, like you said. But I think when we're talking about rebuilding a faith in Christ, it comes through the work of the Holy Spirit, not only in the person that's going to walk alongside of him or her, that person that is suffering and severely doubting, but truly praying that the Holy Spirit come alive in that person. And I just think it's something that we really need to understand is that Holy Spirit and Christians, that they have a solid understanding of the Christian faith, and that we as Christians, through studying the Bible in apologetics, by the way, which is learning how to defend their faith, that's what we teach, and that's what we're hoping your listeners will get into, is learning about your faith, learning how to defend it, and learning to answer those tough questions that, unless answered, lead to disengagement from their trust in God. That's the problem. And I think we all need, hopefully, to be that person that can field such questions from honestly questioning people who are truly looking for answers. We need to be those people that are there for them and do that and walk with them with gentleness and respect, not anger and putting them down because they doubt. We all doubt, no question about it. But it's what we do and how we deal with that doubt. We need to seek out Christians who can help us. And sadly, that might be one of the issues, even a bigger issue than this.
Mm. You know, it's painful to think about impressionable teenagers being so susceptible to this, because they're looking for where they fit in. They're figuring out who they are, and they are quick to follow someone that they think is very cool. And even if that person is deconstructing their faith, then, you know, they're on board. So I got to ask, Nancy, as once we recognize what's happening with someone, whether it's an adult, maybe somebody we know in church, but maybe it's a teenager going through this, and you kind of touched on it a little bit, but be more specific, what are some things that we really should be aware of when we sit down and start to deal with both the issue of Christian deconstructionism and the individual who's going through it?
Yes, and I think this is something that you do one-on-one. Hopefully this person will come to you. Sometimes you have to go to them and say, hey, you know what? I've noticed something's wrong. Can we just sit down and talk? I want to hear what's going on, this kind of thing. But I think for us, as we begin to deal with these people, the first question that comes to my mind is, did this person or do these people have a solid faith in Jesus? Or did they, like most Christian teens today, mark their conversion to growing up in a Christian home? I've said this before, I'll say it again. I was speaking with a group maybe 6 months ago and asked them, how many of you, and this is from a Christian church, and they were sitting there, like 20 of them or 25 of them, and I said, tell me about your conversion. Almost all of them but two said, well, I grew up in a Christian home. And that was their testimony. No ownership, no personal faith. They just grew up in a Christian home. That, my friends, is as good as that can be, is not the answer for this. They have to come to a point where they make their faith their own. Another thing is, are Christian parents convinced? And this is a serious issue. Being a parent and now a grandparent, it's an issue. Are we convinced because their child or grandchild repeated a salvation prayer that they are living out their faith? Most parents are shocked when their kids announce that they no longer believe in God, although there had been signs and symptoms along the way. Their assumption was they didn't have a problem. And my friends listening, grandparents and parents, trust me, I am in Denver right now with all my grandkids and my kids. They are going to have a little interview with their Nana this week, because I need to get to the bottom of this. I want to make sure that we're all on the same base. So that applies to me as well of all of us. We really need to understand where these people are coming from. Who has been discipling these people into a biblical, solid biblical worldview? And that's a question that's on us as parents, and we need to realize that Christian schools and churches are frankly not doing a great job equipping our, they are not equipped to teach our students how to build a biblical apologetic worldview. They just aren't, because they haven't. Most of them have not been trained. They have no idea how to do it. And I understand that. I think we can help with that issue. We'll talk about that in a second. But I think, Stephen Kelly, the good news is that we can be a part of turning the tide of wandering faith. We really can. And there is hope. There's always hope, especially when Christ steps in. He can move mountains, and this is what we're asking him to do here. But we all need to approach the solution with Christian boldness, like we talked about last week, not shying away from these people who are entertaining the idea of leaving their faith. Don't be intimidated by this. Ask them to sit down with you, and we must hear their side of the story. And be prepared to talk with them and answer their questions and concerns about God. We've got to listen to them, not preach to them. We can't interrupt them. We want them to tell me what's going on. It's okay. I'm not going to judge you with this. I have doubts too. And share some of your doubts with them if need be. But that you are working toward resolution. You are not exiting, but you are working yourself through resolution. Ask them and answer their questions about God, the Bible, and essentially why a good God allows suffering. By the way, I think we need to have that question next week. It'll be a good one. But here are some suggested guidelines. One, have an open conversation with your children or friends about their faith. Just open-ended. Ask them to tell you about when they made their faith in Jesus their own. This is such a key question, and it's a good one. It will start the conversation and just see where it goes. Make sure they understand that we all have doubts, but they can use these doubts to learn more about their faith. There are answers to their questions. And P.S., social media is not the place to go to have them answered, or your atheist friends. You know, or those in the process of trying to talk everybody out of their faith. Go to your Christian friends, go to your pastor, go to people that you trust with the truth and will be able to help you. Be careful not to judge them, but rather listen to their story. Engage with them on their level, please. Don't condescend to them. Get down with them. Agree with them. That they are hurting and that they are due answers. Don't tell them, well, you should have known this, you know, or I told you. That will not work in this. And thank the doubters for talking to you. Thank them for just coming to you, making sure that door is open for them. And ask the Holy Spirit, love, kindness, and compassion to visit in your conversation. And stay away from letting it turn to a debate. The last thing you want to do is to engage with a debate. Everybody has opinions, but God has truth. And truth trumps opinions. That is where you want to take them. They need to know in the meantime that you love them and always will be there with them no matter what. And that is so important. We've forgotten how to have discussions and, you know, that we don't understand each other, but yet we can talk about it. But the bottom line is, look, I love you no matter what. And I'm willing to walk through this with you and come to some resolve with you. But let's just try to keep the energy low so those discussions won't be blocked.
Yeah.
You know, I just think such a time as this is what we are about. And we just want listeners to be a part of the solution. This just isn't for your understanding. This is to join in. And if you've never been taught apologetics, which again is better understanding how to defend your faith, or need a refresher, you can start today, and we will help you do that and learn how to defend your faith. Mm-hmm. Get your own questions answered and go to anchorsway.org. We talk about it every week.
Yeah.
But this time, go to anchorsway.org, click on Unanswered Smoke, Mirrors, and God right there. It's on the front page. There's a block there for family study or individual study, or click on the Worldview Bootcamp for more in-depth learning. You know, call our office. We will walk you through it. And I promise you that we will do anything we can do to help you, equip you. Even if you're one of these that are falling away, call our office, 317-844-0381. We'll talk with you. We'll pray with you. I personally will get in touch with you. We need some to help you and answer your questions so you can hopefully someday reach out and help somebody else.